verse 19. Jeremiah 17, verse 19. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all people of Judah, and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy and by not doing any work on it, then the kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of this city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by the men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, and this city will be inhabited forever. People will come from towns of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem, from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills, from the hill country and the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying a load, any load as you come through these gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses. This is God's word. Join me in prayer. Gracious Father, as we take a look at your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive all that you would have for us. Draw us closer to yourself. Change us. And help us to see your gospel in all things. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, as I set up this series for Jeremiah, taking us through the book of Jeremiah, Leah, thank you. I should probably tell you beforehand. Sorry. But as I set up this series, kind of plotting out where I wanted to preach from through Jeremiah, looking where we would be according to our plan this week, I thought it was very interesting that in the middle of these chapters that often seem very dark, quite frankly, as Jeremiah is proclaiming this exile that is coming, this destruction that would be happening if Israel didn't turn and repent and follow after God like it once did, I thought it was very interesting that in the middle of that, there was this call, this reminder that Israel needed to follow and return to the ways of the Sabbath. Wow, that's really interesting. Why would that be so important that it's right here in the middle of these exhortations to Israel about repentance and things of that sort? Well, I want to wrestle with that question here this morning, wrestle with that why question. Why is the Sabbath so important? But in order to do that, I think what we need to do is we need to answer the what question first. What is the Sabbath? And I think that kind of gives us a little bit of a headway, a lead in into the next question, the question that I wrestled with, that is, why is the Sabbath so important? And then finally, I think in order to truly understand the depth of the Sabbath, we have to understand the gift of the Sabbath, and that is what a gift the Sabbath was and is to God's people. So that's how we're going to look at this morning. That's where we're going to go. We're going to ask the question, what is the Sabbath? And then we'll wrestle with the depth of why the Sabbath is so important. And finally, we'll look at the gift that is the Sabbath. All right? So three kind of scenarios we're going to deal with through this morning. But first, let's start with what is the Sabbath? Well, it may come as no surprise to you if you've been around the church for any period of time. You probably already know that when I say, what is the Sabbath? Well, you'd say, well, it's one of the commandments, right? It's one of the 10 commandments that God gives to Israel in Exodus chapter 20, and then, of course, repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, right? So it's a commandment that the people were supposed to practice. But what is it that they practice that defines the Sabbath? Well, maybe the first thought that comes to your mind, and you would be right, is that, well, it was a command not to work, to take a day off. Don't work on the Sabbath. And that's exactly what Jeremiah points to in Jeremiah 17 here in verse 21. He says this. He says, this is what the Lord says. He says, be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates. Right? This is the picture. Don't work. Don't carry a load on the Sabbath. I think in order to truly understand what we mean by, what Jeremiah means by don't carry a load, we have to sort of look at the broad picture of what he's saying when he says, don't carry a load through these gates. Okay? So what does he mean by that? Well, think about that. Think about what all entails about taking a load through the gates of Jerusalem, if you put yourself in their shoes for a minute. In order to carry a load through the gates, well, first you probably have to get the cart and attach it to the ox or donkey or whatever it is that you've got that's pulling something for you. And you have to attach that yoke, right? So there's some work involved with that. And then you've got this cart attached to a mule or an ox or whatever it might be, or maybe just a cart that you can carry yourself, quite frankly. And in order to have a reason to go through these gates, well, you have to fill this cart. And so maybe that involves some harvesting. You have to go out to the fields and cut down some wheat or barley or whatever it is they may have been harvesting at that point. And you have to then put it in the cart. And then you take the cart to the city, you go through the gates, right? And then you go to marketplace, and then you either sell those crops to somebody in the marketplace so that they can sell them, or you market them yourself. And so here, you know, when we think of that picture, this idea of carrying a load through the gates, it seems so simple. We see a broad spectrum of work that kind of is encompassed underneath that. And everything underneath that is what Jeremiah is saying, don't do this on the Sabbath. Rest, relax, be refreshed. This is the picture of economic activity that is included underneath this idea of what they are not supposed to do on the Sabbath. Now the Jews took this Sabbath command very, very seriously during this time. When they followed through and actually observed the Sabbath, they took this very, very seriously, as Orthodox Jews do even today. They took it so seriously that they developed 39 different categories to which they included what it meant to work. Right? So these 39 different categories, there's a wide variety of different things that would be included, such as carrying, which of course we see here in Jeremiah 17. We also see that they include sowing, right? So if you're a sower on the Sabbath, you would not be able to do that. If you like to cook, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Right? If you like to build things, you can't do that on the Sabbath either. If you like to just mark things up, That as well is included in these 39 different categories, included in the idea of work. And then those 39 categories are even expanded even more broadly as well, right? They each have their individual sort of picture of what work means as defined underneath them. So you can see 39 categories that have their own definition of what work is. This is a serious matter, and it's broadly encompassed. And I actually follow a Orthodox Jew in some of the political stuff that I read and watch, and he on Friday night shuts off all electronic devices, can't even read a Kindle even today on Sabbath, because that's considered work. Right? These massive broad categories that include work. And you can see that when they observe it, this was a very serious thing that they kept in mind, this idea of Sabbath. They were not supposed to do many different things that were encompassed under the idea of work. So that's the negative aspect of this command. That is, the things that you are not supposed to do as part of the commandment. But every commandment also has a positive aspect of something you are supposed to do as well. So something you are not supposed to do, but something you are supposed to do because of the commandment. And in this case, the fourth commandment, the commandment of Sabbath, the positive aspect was this. We see it in verse 22. We see that not only were they not supposed to bring a load in or carry a load through the gates, they were to keep the Sabbath holy. Right? So this is the positive aspect of the commandment. They were to keep the Sabbath holy. What does it mean to be holy, or to set something apart as holy? Well, that's just it, right there. The fundamental idea behind what it means to be holy, or to make something holy, is to set it apart. Set it apart for God's use. Right? When we say we're holy, we are set apart for God's use. And so the Sabbath day was always meant to be a day set apart for God's use. A day in which the Jews would honor and glorify God with their actions, their behaviors, resting and relying on Him. You see, it was never just about not working. Right? That is a big part of it, right? To rest, to be refreshed, to relax in God's presence. But in God's presence, right? It was a day in which you were to honor God, to set it apart for Him. This positive and negative aspect of actions or commands we have on our lives is, it's not something unusual, something that we're not familiar with at all. Right? There are positive and negative actions to things that we do all the time. We decided 4 years ago to leave Michigan and head out west, move to Alberta. And there was positive implications to that, right? A new opportunity, meet new friends, opportunity for me to do the career that I felt God was calling me to. But negatively, we had to give up the life we knew. We had to sell our home. We had to give up relationships with people whom we loved. Right? So there's a negative way for that, a negative way to look at that. In our most basic ways, I mean, we deal with this all the time. You just go to the store and you purchase groceries and you have less money to do one thing, so that's a negative picture. on a positive note, you now have groceries to feed your family, right? So there's positive and negative implications to decisions and actions we do or don't do all the time. So this is not a new concept. It gives us a picture of depth to our decisions and the choices that we make or don't make in our lives. And so we then turn and apply that idea to the Sabbath, and we begin to see with that positive and negative implications the picture of why, at least the surface picture of why the Sabbath was so important to Israel as a people. So kind of as we move into this picture of why the Sabbath is so important, I want to dig in a little deeper to that as well. In order to do that, I want us to think about something. I want us to think about covenant and what covenant is and what it means, because I think this gives us a significant amount of depth to understanding why Sabbath is so important. When I mention covenant, one of the first things that maybe come to mind is it's not language that we use every single day or full understanding of, I think, sometimes. The idea of covenant, when I throw that word out there, what is the first thing that comes to mind of a covenant that we enter into nowadays? I would bet the first thing that came to your mind is probably this: marriage. Marriage is one of the biggest things that we consider and still enter into as covenant today. And as a covenant, marriage is, there are certain symbols and certain actions within that covenant that remind us of the relationship that it entails. If I were to ask you what are the symbols of a marriage covenant, the first thing that might come to mind is this: the rings. The rings are a symbol of the marital covenant. When I do a wedding, one of the things that the people often repeat, the bride and the groom often repeat as they put those rings on their fingers, is this is the symbol of our covenant together in Christ. Right? So it's a symbol to remind us of the relationship behind the covenant we are entering into. They're more than just physical symbols, though. In fact, covenants can be acted out in symbolic actions as well, signifying our covenants together. Think about sex. And half of you guys in here are like, yep, already did. A million times, think about sex, right? Guys. Okay, sex is the symbolic covenant action that we enter into in marriage. Sex is the way in which we say in the covenant of marriage that I am giving myself to you in the most intimate way. It's a picture of the one flesh union that we enter into in marriage. And so that's why that any sex outside of marriage is wrong, because it's stealing the covenant symbols that represent marriage. Okay? What does this have to do with Sabbath, though? What is Sabbath when it comes to covenant? Well, Sabbath is the symbol of the covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai. It's the symbol of the covenant of the law. God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 31 this, and he gives them this picture of this that it's a sign. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Right? Sabbath is the sign, that is the symbol, the reminder, the ever-present, regular practice of the covenant that God entered into with the people of Israel. It was an opportunity for them to remember that prior to entering into this covenant with God, that they were a people who did not have the opportunity to rest. In fact, they were slaves before this covenant. Right? They enter into this covenant, and God graciously gives them rest that they so desperately needed while they were slaves in Egypt. Not only is it this picture of the sign, it's also a picture of deep dependence upon God and their relationship with Him. Remember, think about this. You're given up an entire day of work, an entire day of productivity in the fields or in the shop or whatever it might be. And so you've got to depend that the world is not going to fall apart if you take a day off. You are depending on God to come through. You are depending, you are trusting that He is ultimately at the helm. And that is the picture that we see in Sabbath. Now, the conditional nature of the Sabbath that we see in verse 24, it seems to convey this idea that keeping the Sabbath would bring the blessings of the covenant upon the people. And then in the negative picture, in verse 27, we see this picture of the curses of the covenant coming down if they don't keep the Sabbath. Right? So it seems like this sort of conditional nature to keeping the Sabbath. But to assume that that's all it is, that it's just based, that the blessings and the curses of this covenant are just based on keeping the covenant, is to truly miss the full depth of what the Sabbath is and what it was always meant to be with God's people. And we see that true picture when we understand that Sabbath was always meant to be a gift given to the people of Israel. We see this in Exodus chapter 16. When God says to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath." That is why on the sixth day, as he's talking about the manna that they gathered, that is why he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay in on the seventh day. Right? So here's this picture of God giving the people grace, giving them rest, even before the law was given. Remember, this is Exodus chapter 16. The law was not even given yet. It wouldn't be given until Exodus chapter 20 when they're at the base of Mount Sinai. God has given the people grace, given them rest, prior even to getting the whole law. Let's face it, we all know the value of rest. Even the most workiest of workaholic amongst us knows that we need a break every now and then. You know the value of a good vacation, a time to refresh, to relax, to put your feet up and rely on God. And that's the second piece as well. Not only do we need that rest, that refreshment, but we also need that specific, designated, reoccurring time where we're able to draw on the Lord and rest in His presence. If you're going to cultivate any sort of relationship, you have to engage in it regularly and habitually if you are going to build that relationship. And that is no different than our relationship with the Lord. Now, interesting question, interesting thought. Have you ever noticed or ever wondered why the Sabbath command doesn't reappear in the New Testament? I mean, it's talked about, it's discussed, it's debated at times, but the actual command of the Sabbath is never repeated in the New Testament. It's not required anymore. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to say that all days are equal. Okay, there's no need to practice a specific day of Sabbath. See, the idea is, the reason why it's not repeated is because the Sabbath was always just a shadow of what was to come in the gospel. And think about it. In order to practice the Sabbath, you need to rest. You need to relax. You need to trust that God is in control and that He is going to take care of you. You have to depend on Him in order to practice Sabbath. Well, the same is exactly true with the gospel. Think about what the gospel says. It says, I am a helpless sinner laid before the presence of a holy God whom I've offended greatly by my sin. And there is no work, no behavior, no action that I could ever do that will restore my relationship with God. And so just like the Sabbath that I receive as a gift, I receive salvation through the person and work of Jesus Christ as a gift because He took my sin, my shame to the cross, died the death I deserved, was buried, and came to life 3 days later for our justification. That picture of the Sabbath is just a reflection of what would come in the gospel. Just like Israel had to trust and remember the Sabbath, we are called to remember and trust in the gift of the gospel that's given through the work of Jesus. It's that the blessings that we receive through the gospel are immensely more. Restoration to right relationship with the God who created us. Rest in His presence. Knowing that we don't have to earn God's favor, that He's not mad at us anymore. If we've trusted in Christ, we are more loved than we could ever know and more accepted than we could ever imagine. That is the beautiful picture of the gospel. We have peace with God. And that's what the Apostle Paul picks up here in Romans chapter 5 when he says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. Peace with God. Restoration with the Creator of the universe. Do you need peace in your life this morning? Do you need peace? If you trust in the gospel, if you trust in Jesus as Lord, you can start at the top and know that you have peace with God. Is there any reason why you wouldn't want that peace with God this morning? I remind you that it's a free gift of God's grace offered to anyone who would believe. If you already have this peace, that is, if Christ is your Savior, then I just want to remind you this morning that you are loved. that you are accepted, and that you have rest through Jesus. Just like the gift of the Sabbath, the gift of the gospel is something, yes, that we have to be reminded of often, that we have to rest in. But I want to assure you that it is something you can never lose. So rest in His Word this morning. Rest in the promises of the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the grace that you give us through the person and work of Jesus. May we trust in the good news, the gospel that sets us free, that gives us rest through reconciliation with you. And because we've received that reconciliation with you, Lord, it gives us motivation and the ability to be reconciled to anyone and everyone around us. There is so much power in the gospel. May we rest in and have that peace this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.